Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're the show that really digs into the material you share to pull out those key insights.
That's right.
And today we are taking a focused look, a deep dive into something pretty fundamental: noun cases.
Ah, yes. The secret lives of nouns.
Exactly. We're going to unpack the core ideas from your chapter, aiming to make what can seem like, tricky grammar feel much clearer and actually useful.
Absolutely. It's less about memorizing rules and more about seeing the structure.
Have you ever just read a sentence and thought, yeah, that word feels right there? Or you just know who's doing what? Well, often that feeling comes down to this hidden system. So our goal today is to really shed light on the main roles nouns play. Should be pretty helpful by the end.
I think so, because these rules, they might seem small, but they're like the invisible gears making language work precisely. We won't just define them. We'll explore why they're important for you,
Why they matter, yeah.
how they shape meaning, and why getting a handle on them is, well, crucial for clear communication. Think of it like getting sentence X-ray vision.
Ooh, I like that. X-ray vision for sentences. Okay, let's jump right in. The basic idea first. What is a noun case?
Right. At its core, a noun case just tells you the noun's job in the sentence, its function.
Like a job title.
Exactly like a job title.
Yeah.
Is it the one doing the action? Or is it receiving the action? Maybe it's showing ownership.
The source material puts it nicely, asks the key question, what role is the noun playing in this sentence? That's kind of our guide today, isn't it?
It really is. Understanding that role, that job title, helps us see how the sentence is built. It moves us past just knowing words to understanding the architecture, the dynamics within the sentence.
Okay, good foundation. So let's dive into the main ones. The chapter highlights three key cases, right?
That's right, the big three: nominative, objective, and possessive. Once we get these, you'll start seeing them everywhere.
Perfect. Let's start with the first one then, the nominative case.
Okay.
This is often called the subject case, which is a pretty good clue.
It really is. The noun in the nominative case is the subject. It's the one doing the action. The performer, you could say.
The star of the show, the one kicking things off. So if you're trying to figure out what's going on, finding the nominative noun is step one.
Absolutely. It answers the who or what question about the verb.
The chapter gives the example, Arjun runs every morning. So we ask,
Who runs?
and the answer is Arjun.
Right. So Arjun is the subject. He's doing the running. Therefore, Arjun is in the nominative case. Simple as that.
It pins down the actor immediately.
It does. And what's really powerful about the nominative is that clarity. It tells you right away who or what is driving the sentence. No ambiguity about the main event's initiator. It's the cornerstone, really.
Okay, cornerstone established. If the nominative is the one doing the action, well, often there's someone or something receiving that action, right?
Precisely. Which brings us neatly to our second major player, the objective case.
This is where the action lands, the target.
Exactly. The recipient. The noun in the objective case is the one receiving the action. It's the object.
And how do we spot it? The chapter mentions position.
Yeah, position is a big clue in English. It usually comes after the main verb or sometimes after a preposition. It's not doing the work, it's having the work done to it, so to speak.
Okay, let's use the examples. First one, she hugged her brother.
Right, so you ask,
Who was hugged?
and the answer is
Brother. So brother receives the hug. That makes brother the object and puts it in the objective case.
perfect. The action flows from she, nominative, to brother, objective.
Clear enough. What about the second example? He gave a book to Mina. This one feels slightly different.
It is slightly. Here, the question is, to whom did he give the book?
The answer is Mina.
Right. Now, Mina isn't the direct object of gave the book is, but Mina is the object of the preposition to. She's the recipient via that preposition.
Okay.
So being the object of a preposition also puts a noun in the objective case. It's still on the receiving end of the overall action's direction.
That makes sense. It shows where the action or the thing involved in the action is going.
Exactly. And this really highlights something important, doesn't it? Without a clear objective, whether direct or via a preposition, the action can feel incomplete.
Yeah, like she hugged. You immediately think, hugged who?
Right. The objective case provides that target. It gives the verb definition, scope. It completes the thought and makes the communication precise. Hugging thin air isn't quite the same.
Definitely not. Okay, so we have the doer nominative and the receiver objective. What's the third main role?
The third one shifts focus a bit. It's less about action and more about connection, specifically ownership or belonging. We're talking about the possessive case.
Possessive, like something belongs to someone.
Exactly that. It's our grammatical shortcut for showing ownership or a close association between nouns. Very handy.
Avoids longer phrases, I guess.
Definitely. Instead of saying the notebook that belongs to Rhea, we just...
use the example, this is Rhea's notebook.
Right. Ask whose notebook?
Rhea's! The apostrophe les does the trick.
Instantly clear. It links notebook to Rhea as the owner. So efficient.
And the other example, the dog's tail is wagging.
Same logic. Whose tail?
The dog's.
Dog's is possessive. It shows the tail belongs to or is part of the dog.
And the chapter points out the mechanics. Usually apostrophe plus s for singular nouns, but for plurals already ending in s, just add the apostrophe after the s, like the students' projects.
Correct. That little apostrophe placement tells you if it's one student or many. A tiny detail with a significant meaning difference.
It's pretty neat how much work that little apostrophe does.
It really is. What's fascinating is just how efficient the possessive case is. It establishes relationships, shows connections, clarifies ownership with just a tiny grammatical tweak. It's a brilliant tool for precision and conciseness in language. Imagine having to spell out those relationships every single time.
Yeah, sentences would get very long very quickly. Okay, so those are the big three. Nominative, objective, possessive. Maybe we should do a quick recap, like the summary in the chapter.
Good idea. Let's nail down the core functions again.
All right, so to quickly recap our deep dive, noun case fundamentally is about the role, the job, a noun has in a sentence.
Check.
Then we have the nominative case, that's the subject. The one doing the action answers who or what before the verb.
Got it. The action initiator.
Then the objective case. That's the object. The one receiving the action often comes after the verb or a preposition.
The action receiver or target.
And finally, the possessive case. Shows ownership or association. Uses that apostrophe as or just the apostrophe for plurals ending in s. Answers whose.
Perfect summary. And connecting this back. Remembering these isn't just about, you know, passing a grammar test.
Right.
It's a practical framework, a toolkit, really. Understanding these roles helps you see how sentences build meaning.
So it helps with reading comprehension.
Definitely. But also with your own communication. Mm-hmm. Knowing these cases helps you choose the right form, the right role for your nouns when you write or speak. Leads to much clearer, more impactful language.
Makes your own sentences more precise.
Exactly. You're not just throwing words out. You're consciously assigning them their proper jobs.
So there you have it, a solid deep dive into the main jobs nouns perform in our sentences. Hopefully, thinking about this gives you a new appreciation for, well, how language works.
It's about seeing the structure beneath the surface, understanding the dynamics.
It really is empowering knowing why certain sentences feel right or flow well. It's often these cases working behind the scenes.
And maybe that leads to a final thought for you to consider. How does consciously thinking about these noun jobs, nominative, objective, possessive, help you articulate your own ideas more clearly?
Good question.
And how does it help you pick up on the finer points, the nuances, in what others are saying or writing? Keep an ear out for them now. Listen in conversations. Look when you're reading.
Notice the who, the whom, the whose.
Precisely. You'll probably find your understanding and appreciation of language just keeps getting deeper. It reveals the hidden precision that's there all along.
Fantastic. A great place to leave it. The more you look, the more you see. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and definitely keep diving deep with us.
Looking forward to the next one.
Catch you next time on The Deep Dive.